I was studying and reading in the book of Matthew, and I come across something that kind of struck me. And I know I've preached about it before many times, but if you'll turn with me, if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to do a little reading there. And I've got quite a few scriptures to go through, but I'll go through them quick. It's not a lot, but I just wanted us to touch base on this. Two categories you're going to find in this scripture. And so I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I just ask you to fill me tonight, Lord. Move anything out of me that might hinder your word from being spoken truthfully. Lord, just let me speak it clearly and how you would want me to say it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, to go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came, and, "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And I know most of us that read, you know, we've probably heard that sometime preached, you know, we've heard this story before. And if you haven't, you know, I find two categories in here. We find 5 that were foolish and 5 that were wise. 5 that were foolish and 5 that were wise. And we think about, who are the wise, or who is he talking about? Who are the wise and who are the foolish? Well, this scripture is referring to Christians. It's referring to people who are, you know, who know Jesus. It's referring to, and Jesus explains that the wise are the ones who not only listen to the word, but actually follow the word. Now listen to me, I don't want to get confused here, but the foolish people make up excuses why they can sin without accountability. You hear me? We have two categories of people, and he's directing it towards the church. And I want to say, are you ready for one thing? Do you know in your heart tonight that you're ready, if Jesus was to come back today, right now, would you know that you are ready? Because, for one thing, are you the wise person who has followed his commands? And not out of what? Not out of not just because you're following his commands, but you did it out of love, right? Or are you that foolish person? And so let's look at Matthew chapter 7. I just wanted you to think about that, where I'm going, where my mind's thinking on this. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 24, it says, "Therefore," I hear some pages turning, so I'll wait a minute. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man." See? It says, "who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock." Now listen, But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. See, so it says a wise man is somebody who follows his commands and does what he says to do. And that's what he calls us to do. That's what we're called into holiness. That's part of our church model, right? That's who we are as a people. We're called to be a holy people. Why? We're called to be accountable. We're called to follow his commands. That's bearing that cross every day because it's not easy to always follow his commands. And what he's saying in here, the wise man is one who follows his commands, who hears the word and listens and does what it says. And that, but it says that the foolish man, let's look at the book of Proverbs, and there's a whole lot of scripture in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, back in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to go over some stuff comparing. Verse 4. It says, then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Amen. There he's saying again, take hold of my words. Listen, you know, keep my commands. Again, keep them. Let's look at, I'm going to turn my page here. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 9. I'll just go through them here. I got them marked. Verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. We talk about fearing God. We talk about that. Is anybody here? You know, we talk about fearing God, but yet there is no fear. What's the difference between fearing God and then saying, I don't fear death? You see what I'm saying? You can fear God because if you're not keeping his commands, we know just what he said, that when the bridegroom comes and he finds some of them worthy and some of them not worthy, what's he, you know, he's going to take away the ones that were worthy, the ones who were living by his commands and not the one. Because there's a scripture that says, at the end, he said, you'll stand before me. You know the scripture? You'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they'll say, well, didn't I do this for you? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal? Didn't I do all these things? And he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Same, it relates to what I'm talking about tonight. See, there's a difference between the wise and the foolish. And he's directing this towards the church. And let's look at a few more here. And then Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6, verse 16. 12, 16. It says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. I like that one. Let's turn over to Proverbs 22, chapter 22, verse 3. I told you I had a lot of scripture tonight, but they're short. Verse 3, it says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. You see the difference? Let's go back to Matthew. Set this down here. Matthew chapter 24. I want to point something out here. I know this is more of a Bible study than preaching, but I just had to bring, I just felt like I needed to bring this out. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. Because what we're reading here is, there's 50%. We have five virgins that are wise and five virgins that are foolish. And so that refers to a 50%. And I've always thought that. I thought that, you know, because of this scripture right here. And it says here in verse 40 of chapter 24, it says, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. And I think that 50% of the church is in jeopardy of not making it in the rapture of the church because of the scripture. Because some are wise and some are foolish. And I think that because of what the scripture says here. And it refers to that. And so it challenges me, okay, that's the fear of God. That's that fear that we can fear, that, okay, I need to make sure that I'm following His commands and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And not being foolish and taking grace for granted. And I think too many people in this today's society especially, and this is referring to what Jesus was talking about in the end times. This is the way the church is going to be. In the end times, you're going to have foolish people in the church. You're going to have wise people in the church, but you're going to have foolish people in the church. And they're going to be taking advantage of grace and using their good deeds to say, well, look at me, I'm a good person. Or I've done this, or I've done that. We do this, we do that. And scripture after scripture that you can read says that's foolishness. And so it challenges me to challenge you to say, listen, pay attention to what you're doing. You know how you are in your heart. You know what your relationship is with God. You know where you're at with that. And so it's a challenge to me as well. It's a challenge. Okay, what am I doing this for? Am I doing this out of love? Fruits of the Spirit, right? Because that's who Jesus was. See, that's a natural thing that a Christian should do, is the fruits of the Spirit. That should come out of you naturally. So am I doing this out of love? Am I up here preaching out of love? Am I doing this because I'm really called, truthfully? Am I doing this because I love God and I love people and I want to do what God wants me to do? Or am I doing this just so that I can look good or I can feel good? You get what I'm saying? Two things I want to remind you of tonight about this scripture is, are you ready? I mean, are you ready? I mean, I think about that. Am I ready to go? I am. In my heart, I am ready to go. If Jesus came today, I'm like, take me home now. Really? And I know that one day He's going to come back because His Word says He's going to. He's coming back for His church. And He says that the Scripture, I mean, our world today that we live in, it says that it will be like it was in the days of Noah. And all these things I read about and all these things that I see happening today are just Scripture being fulfilled. And I think, you know what? He's coming soon. I don't know what hour it's going to be. I don't know what day it's going to be. But He's coming back. And I want to be ready for that. I want to be that wise person that's doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing and not caught asleep. There's many, I can go over many scriptures where Jesus talks about this a lot. It's not just this parable. It's many parables where He talks about that. Be on your watch. Be on your guard. Look out. Watch out. He uses those words all the time. Look out for people so they don't fool you. You know, don't be a stumbling block for others. Or, you know, you'll be going to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He talks about that all the time. I don't want to be the one that takes my grace for granted. There is no excuse for Christians to sin. Really? Are we perfect? No. Do we make mistakes? Yes. I said this on, was it last Wednesday? I said, you know, before you're saved, it's like you're walking on a nail bed of sin with steel shoes on. But then when you get saved, the shoes come off. And when you step on a nail of sin, you know it. And it hurts. And you don't want it to hurt anymore. And so then you're more careful. And then you're watching because you don't want to step on them anymore. Right? We have to watch. That's what he's talking about. We have to be ready. We have to... Scripture after scripture after scripture. We can look at what the lamp represents. We can look at what the oil represents. The oil represents the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. We can look at 1 Samuel chapter 10. Go back in the Old Testament again. 1 Samuel chapter 10. It starts back here. I'll read a little bit here because it's kind of, 1 through 6. It says, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 6. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come and come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. I love that. I love that. He anointed him, and the Spirit came into him. That's what this is saying. And he said, then you will be a changed person. I love that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be a changed person. He changed me. He changed my heart. I know many others. Right, Brother Curly?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit comes on you, he changes you. Let's look at another one in 1 Samuel, verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 13. Referring to the oil. That's what I'm saying. The oil represents grace and good deeds, some commentaries say. But the scripture indicates that it's the oil that represents God's Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why I'm reading these scriptures. It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David, and Samuel went to Ramah. See, again, he anointed with oil, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, in the Old Testament, that's what it represented. In the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit because of Christ, right? When John the Baptist came, he said, I baptize you with water. But he said, you know, that when Jesus came, he said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have to have that Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what changes us. Amen? That's what changes us. I hope you're getting out of this what I got out of this. I hope I'm bringing this to you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Go back to Matthew. I know I'm flipping around here a little bit. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 8. You know, the wise person, and I was talking about a while ago about producing good fruit. And it says in chapter 8, it says, produce good fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our fathers. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now listen to that. It's a difference, right? We're seeing two sides. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. Those sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff in unquenchable fire. That's pretty powerful words right there, isn't it? I read a little more than what I was going to, but I just get to reading. But all that is talking about the separation between the wheat and the chaff. It talks about you remember the scripture between the goats and the sheep and the fish and the nets. All these parables that he's talking about is the separation of people. And even with the 10 virgins, but he's directing that more so between people who are believers. And that really catches me. And then we're two are at the mill grinding, two are on the rooftop, two are this. That's 50%. That's a scary statistic, isn't it? You think about that. 50% of the people that are here tonight may not make the rapture. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying, because I don't know where your heart is. I want for all of us to go to heaven. I want for all of us to make it, right? That's my goal as a pastor. I mean, that's my goal as a Christian. That should be your goal as a Christian, to make sure that your neighbor gets to go to heaven. That's why he left us here. And we all have this job. We all have this job that we have to do. And it's not an easy job. This life is not always easy. We have a lot of crosses to bear. John 15. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 15. Another scripture that talks about the church. Starting in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I love that. But it's also a reminder of what I'm talking about tonight. We have to be fruitful. We have to bear good fruit. That's what he wants us to do. That's part of that command. You keep my commands. That's a wise person, one that keeps his commands. That wise person, the one that bears fruit. So again, I ask you tonight, where are you at tonight in your life? Can you look at yourself and say, I'm a fruitful person? Or can you look at yourself and say, I'm a wise person? Because I've been both. I've been wise and then I've been really foolish at times. And I think we all do that. But for a while in my life, it was this in my Christian life. I was wise and then I was foolish. And then I was wise and then I was foolish. Until I made that commitment, I realized that, I can't do that any longer. It's a miserable life. I've got to be wise as I can be. And the only way I can do that is with the Holy Spirit. I have to keep the oil in my lamp. And that's what this is, that's what it's really all about. We have to be wise about keeping the Holy Spirit in our life, about keeping that lamp full all the time. And that's why church is so important, that we come and we gather together. I mean, we don't have to have each other for the Holy Spirit to fall upon us. We can do that anywhere. We have to seek the Holy Spirit. We have to communicate. We have to desire that. It takes effort. Okay? And by doing that, we keep our lamps filled. And that makes us wise. And when he comes back, and he's going to come back. He's going to come back. I hope I've done good tonight. I hope you guys learn from this. I really do. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I hope I spoke it the way you wanted me to, Lord. Lord, you laid this on my heart. And Lord, I just want to be a wise steward for you. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be found ready. Lord, I don't want anybody not to make it. Lord, help me and help this church. Lord, I praise you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe, but give us wisdom, Lord, because wisdom only comes from you. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Keep us full. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.